chapter 10, starting in verse 46 down to 52, we're going to read the story of blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight. From the NIV, of course, the New Inspired Version. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus. Actually, you know what? The Bible actually says this. In the Greek, it says this. Timaeus, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, Bar itself means son. His name is son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. Anyways. So here's the son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Imagine having someone whose name is like the son of. For example, here's Finney. I won't name him Finney. I'll call him son of Hiram, the son of Hiram. That's his name. Son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, once again I come to you. I confess my dependence on you. Apart from you, I have no power. Apart from you, there is nothing that is fresh from heaven. So Lord, we pray that you will just be so free to move in our midst today. Speak to everyone, Lord. Refresh our spirits in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Okay, reading this story, I know that many of us have read this story before, the story of Bartimaeus. Actually, he's one of those guys that Jesus healed who was named. Most of those people that Jesus healed, they were not named. For some reason, he was named. Probably it's because he's the son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. I don't know, but he was named. And here's his story, and as I was reading his story, I was reflecting on it, and I observed that his life, particularly this encounter of Bartimaeus with Jesus, actually shows us so much about our journey of faith. All right? So the title of the message is Our Journey of Faith. Our Journey of Faith. Bartimaeus here can be taken as a picture of every sinner who eventually became a follower of Jesus. And as we look at Bartimaeus today, I want you to reflect on Bartimaeus, reflect on yourself, reflect on your faith journey. You will see, uy, parang ako nga si Bartimaeus. You will eventually find out what I am talking about, all right? So, how does our journey of faith look like? How does this go? Our journey is the same as this encounter of Bartimaeus with Jesus. So, how does it start? It starts in verse 47. It says here, when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. That's the first thing. In our journey of faith, in our journey with the Lord, it started with us hearing about Jesus. That's number one. Our faith journey started when we heard about Jesus. Somebody told us about Jesus. Somebody talked to you about Jesus. Or probably you attended a Christian fellowship, a friend invited you, or a campus minister approached you and started telling you about Jesus. That's very crucial that we get to hear about Jesus. Why? Because in Romans chapter 10, let's start in verse 14. Okay? It says here, how then, everybody read, go. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So it starts with someone preaching to us. Not necessarily someone behind the pulpit preaching to you, but it can be a friend, it can be a classmate, it can be a relative, somebody who just attempted to share the gospel to you. Why? Because going down, Romans 10, verse 17, it says this. Verse 17, everybody read, go. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In Bartimaeus' case, it says here, when he heard, everybody say heard. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, it's the same thing for all of us. Our journey with Jesus started when we heard about Jesus. And it was a message that was enlightening. It was a message that was new to us. I don't know about you, but in my case, I would say that my encounter with the Lord was somewhat different, in the sense that I came from a Protestant background. Majority of Filipinos come from a Catholic background. Just a quick survey. Who among you came from a Catholic background? Oh, wow. That's like, taas nga, taas. Okay, good. Who came from a Protestant background? Minority. Who came from... Oh, what? Okay, na yan. Isusunod ko. Wala. So when it came to me and somebody was sharing with me the gospel, I actually had this religious pride in me. Religious pride in the sense that being a Protestant or coming from a Protestant background, I actually looked at myself as somebody who had better knowledge of the Bible. In the sense that we Protestants, we have Sunday school. We know about Noah's flood. We know about David and Goliath. We know about Joseph and Mary. Total, yung mga Catholics, alam din naman yan eh. Kaya nga may Jesus, Mario, Joseph. But I'm thinking, well, we know the Bible. We get to study the Bible. We have our Sunday school. So I'm coming from that background until somebody approached me and told me, Hiram, you need Jesus. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. The only security that you are looking for can be found in Jesus. And I was asking this guy. So I go, why? What's your religion? He tells me, no, it's not a religion, Hiram. It's a relationship with Jesus that can save you. You must be born again. I said, no. I'm asking you, what's your religion? He says, no, it's not a religion that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. And I insisted. I said, what's your religion? What's in your birth certificate? And he tells me, Catholic. And I said, Katoliko ka pala eh. Protestante to, man. And I was proud of it. Because I was looking at my religion as something that's better than his, because ours, we have Sunday school. You don't have Sunday school. But then he dropped this bomb on me and he says this, think about this, Hiram. It was not a Protestant who died for your sins. And it was not a Catholic who died for my sins. If there's one who died for our sins, it's Jesus. To give you an even deeper context of that encounter, that person who was sharing with me the gospel was doing it while I was smoking pot. May hawak akong stick. And this guy was bold enough to share with me that I needed to be born again. What he was doing at that time, we call it bad trip. But God used that particular encounter for me to hear the good news that Jesus actually died for my sins. And so he asked me this, do you know Jesus and does he know you? Because it takes a relationship with Jesus for someone to be saved. And unless you know Jesus, unless he knows you, you're not saved. Because the Bible says that many will call on to me, Jesus says, and say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I don't know you. And it was something that was a message that I have not heard before. But I'm so grateful that there's this one person who took the time to talk to me and tell me that I needed to be born again. And just in case you're here today and you've heard of the born again thing before, and the way you look at it, the way you understand it is that it's, well, you know, it's a group. It's a new fad. The born again people, yung mga born again na yan, ikukumberti ka lang yan. It's a new thing. You know what? The born again experience is as old as the gospel. Because it's actually a statement from Jesus. John 3:3, Ami. And everybody will read this. Everybody, go. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So for those who misunderstand what being born again is, it's actually from Jesus. It's not a new thing. It's not a 20th century invention. It is as old as the statement of Jesus when he said to this religious person, by the way, because this is a statement that Jesus actually mentioned, or he stated to a religious leader. The name is Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. He is a religious leader. And Jesus is telling the religious leader, hey, you know what? You need to be born again. Now, you may know of another Nicodemus. He's part of this church. But he's not the original. The original was someone that Jesus was talking to. And Jesus says, hey, Nicodemus, I know you have your religion. I know you are a religious leader. But then again, it does not count. And you may be here today, and I'm telling you right now, you may have your religion, you may be holding on to something, and you're saying, well, you know what, I was born into this group, and I will die with this group. No problem with the group, provided that you know Jesus in a personal way, because that group cannot save you. Not even this church can save you. You will eventually, ultimately die. But you cannot be facing God and say, God, I'm part of church, so blessed. This is the answer that God will give to you. So, God, I took down notes. See, every Sunday I have my notes. It's even better than the notes of Pastor Hiram. And God will say, so? Because the only thing that matters when you get to heaven is that you know Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Amen? So that's number one. In our faith journey, there was a time when we heard about Jesus. You heard that Jesus loves you. You heard that Jesus died for you. You heard that Jesus was the one who sacrificed his life so that you can have eternal life. You heard of John 3:16 that says that God so loved you. Tell the person next to you, you. That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but will have eternal life. Now, just in case you have not heard that before, you are hearing it now, and your faith journey starts right there. You heard about Jesus. For Bartimaeus, it started with that. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. The next step would be this, again in verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus! Everybody say, Jesus!
Jesus.
He did not call on anyone else, just Jesus. He did not say, Buddha! Have you heard of that story? Never mind. Okay na. He began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The second step in our faith journey, upon hearing about Jesus, that He loves us, that He died for us, that He was the one who sacrificed His life for us, is that number two, we admit that we need mercy. So we heard about the good news. We heard about Jesus. And then, upon hearing it, the right response should be, Jesus, Son of David. What does that mean that He's the Son of David? I thought He's the son of Joseph and Mary. Well, Jesus was conceived by Mary. Jesus was inside the womb of Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Adopted by Joseph, that's true. But the Son of David thing would be an acknowledgement that Bartimaeus understood that Jesus is the promised Messiah who will be coming from the lineage of David. Because all these years, all these centuries, the Hebrews or the Israelites in the Old Testament have been waiting for the promised Messiah, and it is told in the Old Testament that the promised Messiah is coming from the line of David. So in shouting so that Jesus, I know you're the son of David, Bartimaeus is actually saying, Jesus, I know you are the Messiah. That's what it means. Jesus, you are the Messiah. I know. Jesus, you are the Savior. I know. And because you are the Savior, I understand that my proper response to knowing that you are the Savior is that you will have mercy on me. The moment we understand that Jesus actually is the Savior of the world, the proper response would be for us to acknowledge God. Only you can save me from my sins, and I need mercy. Everybody say mercy. Now, this is what mercy means. From the Greek word eleeo. Eleeo. Paano yung pastor? That's E-L-E-E-O. There are two O's in the Greek alphabet. There's the O, that's the Omicron, and there's the O, that's the Omega. And here, it's not the Omicron. If it's Omicron, it's L-E-O. But since it's the Omega, L-E-O. So, mercy, L-E-O, it means to show pity to another who is in serious need. To show pity to another who is in serious need. Now, understand this. All human beings are in serious need. Why? Because in Romans 3:23 it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who among us here would admit to having sinned? At least once. Twice. Three times. 10 times. So, ayaw natin ng once. Gusto natin doon sa marami. Okay? Who among us here would admit to having sinned at least 1,000 times? Who among you here have sinned today? Ang bilis naman. Aga. 11 pa lang. Nagkasala na kayo. It happens. And so, having this recognition, God, you know what? I sin. And I have sinned. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that those who sinned, the wages of sin is death. And this is not just us dying. Everybody dies. Physical death, it happens to everyone. But this is referring not just to physical death. It also refers to spiritual death, which is to say that we will be eternally separated from God. To be eternally separated from God means that wherever you go, if God is not there, have you ever thought about this? Wherever God is not, that would be hell. Because God is life. And God is light. You remove God, it's all death. You remove God, it's all darkness. That's hell. Pastor, there are places in this planet that are not so good, like the city jail or the provincial jail or the Bilibid. You know what? Remove God, all those guys would be dead. It's still good because God is still preserving people. But this is speaking of something that's not just physical death. It is spiritual death. It's a place where it's utter darkness, utter hopelessness, utter ugliness. It's just bad. And the Bible says that those who have sinned, the wages of our sin is spiritual death, eternal death. So we are in desperate need. Tell the person next to you, you are in serious need. Which is why we come before God and we plead for mercy. Mercy is to show pity to another who is in serious need. Just like Bartimaeus, he was shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I understand, Jesus, apart from you, I will always be in darkness. So have mercy on me. We need to understand this. I need to address this thing. Because it happens. And it happens even here in this church. That we may actually say what is now known as the sinner's prayer. Actually, I get to do it most of the time here every Sunday. That I invite people, if you want to receive eternal life, you know what? I want you to follow after me in this prayer. Pray this from your heart. Utter this with your lips. And so people follow that prayer. And rightly so, all right? Hindi ko ibinababa yung value nito. It is but proper for every person to just acknowledge, Lord Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner. But then again, when we downplay the importance of us acknowledging that indeed we have sinned, and because we have sinned, we are on our way to hell. If you are on your way to hell, there is this desperation. Oh God, don't! I don't want this to happen. There is this desperate cry in our hearts. Oh Lord, I don't want to burn in hell. It's a desperate prayer. Should be a desperate prayer. But then, here comes what we call easy believism. Well, you know, just believe in Jesus. He's kind, you know. He will just save you. But unless we recognize that what He is saving us from is actually the utter ugliness of hell, we will not appreciate what mercy is all about. I don't know, but sometimes it happens that when you get to help someone prematurely, you help someone prematurely without that person even realizing the help that you have given, the help is sometimes unappreciated. Because they have not been through hell. Yung pang, oh, thank you, huh? But they don't know that if you had not been there to offer help, and if you did not rescue, that this person would actually have gone through the most trying times. But then again, the appreciation is not shown. Why? Because it was given prematurely. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Parang, I don't know how it's like with the parents of old. My dad and my mom, when Ate Lolit and I got married, we had to survive with the income that I was receiving from church. And I remember we started a fellowship in Ortigas Center behind Mega Mall. And in starting that fellowship, we had to carry the karaoke with us. The name is Optron. You know, Optron is the brother of Voltron. Cousin of Megatron. We have to carry that from behind Mega Mall across the bridge of the Shaw Boulevard. Yeah, crossing into, and then bring that Optron to Boni Avenue, and then take another jeepney going back to the church where I was a pastor. Add to that that we already had a daughter, Chelsea, and Chelsea was as heavy as Optron. We were doing that. Now, in hindsight, I'm just thinking this. In hindsight, my dad and my mom, I know they had the means to buy me a car. But they did not. They had the means. They could have. They did not. For some reason. Now, I'm just looking back, and I'm saying, had they offered help prematurely? Because eventually, my mom gave me a car. Eventually. But not at that time. It took some years before they gave me a car. But at that time, we were doing it like, Lolette will be carrying Chelsea. I will be carrying the Optron. We will be walking. Sometimes we will try to get a cab, particularly on the third year that we were doing the fellowship, because it was on the third year that I started receiving transpo allowance. So we can hail a cab, but we had to bargain with the taxi driver because he would say, 100 pesos po. Bossing, metro tayo. Ay, 100 pesos po. Isip ko, ay kakapusin pa yung aking transpo allowance yan. Metro tayo. And I will insist on the metro. They will not, or he will not agree with the metro, so we will just walk. Now, in hindsight, I'm thinking of this. If the help from my parents came prematurely, I will not be as appreciative as I was when I finally got it. Oh, thank you po. Alam mo, thank you po. So my first car, which is full of humility, is Kia Pride. I mean, that's the humblest car there is. Should be named Kia Humility. But see, the appreciation is there. Because we learned how to do ministry without that. Now, what am I telling you? Here is Bartimaeus. He was pleading for mercy. And sometimes in our relationship with the Lord, I don't know if we are even cognizant of the fact that apart from His mercy, we will still be on our way to hell. Ibang Lord, salamat dumating ka. For example, when it comes to our worship time, when it comes to us singing to Jesus, have you ever sang to the Lord in such a way that, oh Jesus, thank you, kasi kung hindi mo ko niligtas, I'll be on my way to hell. Oh Lord! But we can do this. Oh Lord.
Haba na ha? Naiinip na ako.
And yet, He gave us mercy.
in light of that mercy, what's our response?
Sana matapos na maaga to.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Bartimaeus recognized, Jesus, I am desperate for your mercy. Why? Because he knew if Jesus won't touch him, he will not receive his sight. In the same way, we all know if Jesus will not save us, we're not going to heaven. If Jesus will not forgive us our sins, the sins remain and the wages of sin is death. Good thing. The verse does not stop there, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we're thankful for the gift. I'm thankful for the car. Maski apihin niyo yan na pride daw. Asa ng pride? I'm thankful for that car. The car without the seatbelt. Yeah, yeah, I remember because they came out with this unit or they came out with this model that was just bare. It was so bare. It did not have a seat belt. It had four wheels, all right? It was running, fulfilled the purpose for which it has been sent. All right. So that's the second one, all right? First, we hear about Jesus, and then we admit that we need mercy. That time, I remember when that guy was sharing with me the gospel, I acknowledged it. Jesus, I am a sinner. I need mercy. And Jesus came into my life. Now, number three, after receiving Jesus, after receiving his mercy, the story continues on. Verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, Messiah, Savior, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now, number three, on our faith journey, we hear about Jesus. We recognize our need for mercy. We receive his mercy. Now, we need to persist. We need to persist in coming to Jesus. Everybody say, persist. Now, understand, there are two kinds of people around you. Not necessarily in this house, but if maybe outside, there are two kinds of people that will be around you. First would be those people in verse 48. Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet. Shut up, you. There are some people, probably relatives even, probably friends, dati mong mga kabarkada, classmates, batchmates, pare, ano nangyari sa'yo? Uy, pa-born again na siya. Uy, may Bible pa. Sama ka na lang sa amin. Many rebuked him. That's the first type of people. The second would be, I love this one. So, Jesus, he stops. Because he persisted. Everybody say, persist. Okay? He persisted. These guys tell him, hey, you shut up, you. Be quiet. But you know what? This guy caught the attention of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that is all that matters. Catching the attention of Jesus. Who loved worship this morning? Goodness! I think we caught the attention of Jesus. You know how it starts? Na parang, oh Lord, I hope you come. I hope I feel your presence. I don't know about you, but that's how it is for me. Like, God, I need to encounter you. And then you just sense it. Oh, Lord, you're here. Like, you just persist. Sometimes it does not start that way na everything is, oh, Lord, you're here. Parang, Lord, 25 minutes na, wala ka pa. Lord, kangin na pa nagtatatambol yung bata ron. Nothing's happening. But then he comes. And you just know, God, persistence pays. He's actually seeing the hunger level of the church. Are you really hungry for him? Are we really hungry for him? And so, this Bartimaeus, he was shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I remember my daughter Chelsea. I don't know how. She has this thing. I don't know if she's just being playful, her naughty self. But she has this crush on the former president. Noy Noy. So, back in 2016, recognizing that in a few days, Noy Noy will not be the president anymore of the Republic, Chelsea went to one of the meetings de avance. Or one of the meetings de avance. How do you make it plural? One of those meeting de avances. Ganito, meeting des avance, alright? Okay? One of those. And she says, I'll be there because I know Noy Noy will be there. So she went to Quezon Memorial Circle. And sure enough, Noy Noy came. And Noy Noy passed by. And she shook his hand. And she calls me up like, Daddy, Daddy, nakamayan ko si Noy Noy. I said, may picture ka? Wala po. Ay, hindi ako naniniwala. Hang up the phone. Alright? So that was a challenge. Hindi pwede. Andito na siya. Hinahanap uli. Nasaan si Noy Noy? So, when it was time for the president to go up on stage, and there was Noy Noy again passed by her, she starts shouting, Noy Noy! Noy Noy! I love you! I kid you not. No, it was not Noy Noy. Pinoy! So she was shouting, Pinoy! Pinoy! I love you! I love you! Pa-picture tayo! Hey! He stopped. Just like this verse. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Like, in her case, like, call her. Cheer up. He's calling you. All right? Like he was going up the stage. He stopped and went down. And says, Iha, Iha, tahimik lang tayo. Kasi pagka umakit na ako ron, hindi pwede maingay. Pinoy! Pinoy! Kailangan magkaroon ng picture! And so, the president says this, oh, sige na po, ah, pagbigyan na po natin yung bata. Okay? Sabi niya, this is our president speaking. Bigay mo na yung camera mo sa kanya. Referring to the presidential security group guy. Bigay mo na yung picture mo sa kanya, siya nakukuha. And all these people who were there, they mobbed the president. Sabi ng Chelsea, Pinoy! Nasaan na siya? Habe? Asa na? Ay, pagbigyan po natin. And they got a picture together. Yeah. Alright. Now, I tell you this, people. I think it's a good illustration of how persistence pays. And when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, I think the church should display a bit more hunger for the Lord. A bit more persistence. Oh God, I won't let go of you until you bless me. God, I'm not going to stop worshiping until you bless me. God, we're not going to stop singing until you come and let us feel your presence. So here's Jesus. He says, hey, call him. So they call to the blind man. Look at this. The two kinds of people. First would be those who would say, hey, hey, shut up. And those guys who would say, hey, 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 cheer up. Two kinds of people. And I want you to dissociate from those people who would say, hey, shut up. And look for those people who would say, hey, cheer up. Come on, let's go to the house of the Lord together. Let's look for these people who will encourage us in our relationship with the Lord. Let's go for those people who will just say, alam mo, I feel what you feel because I'm hungry for the Lord also. Yung makikita mo, tunay nakakiskisan sila. Those people who will just light the fire in you or fan the flame that is in you. I need those guys. Me, I am a pastor. I move in revival. I move in signs and wonders. But honestly, I confess to you, I need guys who will tell me, Pastor Hiram, cheer up. Let's go for it. Let's go for national revival. Which is why I love my friends in the body of Christ who will tell me, come on, let's go for it. Come on, let's go for it. Come on, let's go for it. Just the other day, I got a message, a video message, because I asked some of my friends in the body of Christ if they can send us some videos of some greetings for our anniversary celebration. And I got this greeting from a very good friend, Pastor Jerome Ocampo. His greeting goes, Pastor Hiram, the body of Christ is just grateful and thankful for the ministry of Church So Blessed. The Church So Blessed is just pioneering signs and wonders in the body of Christ. We need you. Oh, that just sent some fresh breath into my spirit. I need those who will tell me, cheer up, come on. There's some more. There's some more of God. There's some more fire that's waiting for you. Tell the person next to you, cheer up, some more. There's some more from God. Amen. We persist. Everybody say persist. It's important. We persist. We persist. We persist. Sometimes the Christian life, the Christian journey, our journey may not be on a high note. Have you observed our walk with God? Yes, it's exciting. But there are occasions wherein it's not so exciting. Those would be the times when we need somebody to just cheer us up. Hey, tuloy! Sometimes church is not so exciting. Oh, kumusta church? Eh, ko, parang, Eh, kumusta yung kantahan? Parang, Ah, ganun. Ay, sige na, backslide na lang tayo, sabay. Wow, backslide agad. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Can we look at this? Hebrews 10:24-25. And everyone read, go. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's how we encourage each other. Hey! Tuloy! 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 Yung ginamit na word dito, how we can spur. Everybody say, spur. Alam niyo ba spur? Who knows the San Antonio Spurs? First round playoffs, out. Sorry. But Lakers, not even in. Not even in the playoffs. Anyways, the San Antonio Spurs, their logo would be the spur. For those of you who are not so knowledgeable about the Cowboys, the spur would be that which they put on their boots right here. Ito yung pagka naglakad, the Western movies like, bubukas yung pito, alam mo yun? Yung mga bilog na yun, that's what they use to spur the horse. Kukupad-kupad si horse, parang,
Kakatamad naman tong desierto. Ah, ganun, ha?
That's the spur. And that's what the Bible is saying. Sometimes we need to spur one another on. Bro, kumusta ka na? Ayaw ko na. Tinatamad na. Ah, ganun na. Tara, let's go.
Sometimes we need a good spurring. Tanungin mo yan, katabi mo, kailangan mo bang mas spur?
Well, you know, the mindset of many Christians is this, eh, by grace naman eh. You know, here's the thing about grace. Because now, Christians understand that everything in the Christian life is by grace. Our salvation is by grace. Our healing is by grace. Our deliverance is by grace. Everything about the Christian life is by grace. Since it's all by grace, eh, di pwede na wag magsimba.
I've heard that line. Uy, mas maganda pa nga, manood na lang sa YouTube, eh, makakapili ka pa ng mga preachers, iba-iba. Ito pa, mas matindi. Mas maganda sa YouTube, walang offering.
Ito na ngayon, pag sinapian naman, hindi makapagpa-pray sa YouTube.
Pastor, tulong po. Bakit? Sinasapian po eh. Ano sabi ng preacher sa YouTube?
See, there's the need for a family. And that's why church is here, because church is a family. And the Bible is reminding us, hey, spur one another on. Spur one another on. Kumustahin mo? Ano na nangyari sa'yo? Long time no see. What's up? Ho, kumusta na kayo? Ah, andito pa rin ng church. Sometimes people would ask me, Pastor, kumusta na? Nasa church ako. Ikaw, kumusta na? Ah?
Persist. Everybody say, persist. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Let us not give up meeting. Meeting together. Number four, let's move on. So here's Bartimaeus, and he persisted. Everybody say, persistence pays. Ito na. Verse 51. So now he's right in front of Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? On our faith journey, this would be equivalent to us daily receiving grace from Jesus. Imagine this. Every day, Jesus actually asks each one of us, what do you want me to do for you? It's not only when Bartimaeus was blind that he has the open door to approach Jesus. It's not only on that day when we receive Jesus into our hearts as Lord and Savior, when Jesus would ask us, what do you want me to do for you? Up to now, every day, Jesus would ask, what do you want me to do for you? And that's daily receiving grace from Jesus. What do you want Jesus to do for you? That's a daily thing. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Sagutin niya natin yan. Like, just imagine this. Jesus is right in front of you, and He's asking you this today. What do you want me to do for you? Goodness. It's like, there's no limit here. What do you want me to do for you? That's daily receiving of His grace. In our faith journey, don't think of this question or this offer as a one-time offer. It's an everyday offer from Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? The giants of the faith, like George Mueller, would have testimony after testimony after testimony of how Jesus will just come and provide for all of the needs of his orphanage. Because Jesus would come to him and say, what do you want me to do for you? There's this one story in the orphanage. George Mueller was feeding hundreds of orphans. And one morning, the caretaker of the orphanage told him, we don't have any more food, we don't have any more milk. Nothing for the orphans. So George Mueller goes to the mess hall where all of these kids are, and he says, hey, you cannot be late for school, so you'd better say grace, you'd better say thank you for the meal. There's no meal, there's no food, there's no drink, nothing. You cannot be late for school, you'd better say grace. So they all prayed, Lord, we thank you for the meal that's before us, in Jesus' name. Amen. You cannot be late for school. You'd better pray now. Thank God for the food. Then came a knock on the door. Here was the milk. Like gallons and gallons and gallons of milk delivered right there at the door. Free of charge for all of the orphans. And then came another knock on the door. Here comes the bread for everyone. God had to wake up a baker at 2 a.m. and tells the baker, hey, you need to bake so much bread. Give it to that orphanage. For some reason, the baker woke up 2 a.m., brought it to that orphanage right on time so that they will not be late for school. God provides. Amen? Question remains, what do you want me to do for you? This question of Jesus, I mean, some people would say, Pastor, isn't it a rhetorical question? Doesn't Jesus know what he needs? I mean, he's blind. What do you want me to do for you? You'll be surprised. In some countries, they don't really pray for healing. Have you heard of what they do? Some people do in India, like there's a good arm right there, but they cut off the arm. They cut it off so that the child can beg. It's a good arm. They cut it off. So if Jesus is to ask that person, what do you want me to do for you? I want money. You're not going to ask for a new arm? No, I want money. We need money. So here's Jesus. He's asking, what do you want me to do for you? For all you know, the answer of Bartimaeus may be different. I want appreciation. I want people to love me. So Jesus is asking, what do you want me to do for you? Sometimes it's not a given. I don't know if the thought ever crossed your mind na, Lord, bakit kailangan ko pa mag-pray? Alam mo naman lahat ng kailangan ko. But there are things that may be in our mind, but that may be different from that which is in the mind of God. God may give you something else which He knows will be better for you than that which you're asking for. But still, God would honor what is it that you want. So here's Bartimaeus, and he says, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. I love this story in that it shows that Jesus has different ways of healing people. You know that other guy? The one who was not named, who was also blind, and the way that Jesus gave him his sight was Jesus had to spit on the ground. Papipiliin ko kayo, anong gusto nyo? Yung, go, your faith has healed you. O, sadali lang ha. We call it the waktu. I mean, some people would like to make it look like it was neat. Na, si Jesus was just doing this. Man, you cannot form mud with... It has to be the walk. And the two. And Jesus did that. He has lots of ways to heal. Which is why when it comes to the healing ministry, lots of ways to heal. Amen? So here's Jesus asking him, "Hey, what do you want? What do you need? What do you want me to do for you, Lord? I want to see." And this is something that I want us as a church to be practicing always. You know, when you wake up in the morning, Jesus will pose that same question to you. What do you want me to do for you? Oh my goodness, really, Lord? What do you want me to do for you? We will activate today using that question. And we're going to answer that question. What do you want me to do for you? Why? Because the Bible says you do not have because you do not ask. And I want us to be a praying church. What do you want me to do for you? All right? Finally, number five, and then we will move to the activation. Number five is this. Oh, I love this. Go, your faith has healed you. All right? Go. Jesus says this, Go, your faith has healed you. And usually, after people get healed, they really go. Go, your faith has healed you. And they go. Never to be seen again. I mean, that's how it is. People, if I will just count the many people that have been healed by the Lord in this church, in that church in Timog, if I will just count the number of people that have been healed in our ministry, in the conferences, in the cities and the provinces, I'll tell you, centuries will be packed with them. I'm talking of hundreds, thousands of people who have been healed. Go! Your faith has healed you. And they really went. So where are they now? They followed the order of Jesus. Jesus said go, so they went. They went. Here, I love Bartimaeus. And this is number five. Immediately he received his sight and he did not go. He followed Jesus along the road. Actually, that's the idea here. You've been touched by the Lord. You've been saved by the Lord. You've been cleansed of the Lord. You've been delivered by the Lord. You've been blessed of the Lord. You have felt loved by God. So what do you do? Number five, we actively follow Jesus. Why so? Bartimaeus knows he is not a user of Jesus. Some people get to use God. Tagalugin ko ha? May mga tao ginagamit lang si Lord eh. God, I need you. Why? What do you want me to do for you? I'm sick. Heal me. So God touches us. Thank you, God. And then off I go. Back to my old self. Back to my old routine. Where God is not part of the equation. God, help me. Why? What do you want me to do for you? I'm in a mess. I did something crazy. Now I'm in jail. I need to be set free. So God does something. He invokes mercy, touches the heart of the one who puts him in jail, and then out he goes. Now I'm free. Where are you now? Off I go. We're just using God. Lord, help me. Help me. I'm in the dark. Help me. What do you want me to do for you? Set me free. So he sets us free. After that, what? Oh, go. So he goes. Not Bartimaeus. He knows, I'm not going to be a user of God. I'm going to be in a relationship with Jesus. I will follow him wherever he goes. So the journey began with Bartimaeus just hearing about Jesus. That's how it is for many of us here. We heard about Jesus, got born again, but now we decided, Lord, I'm not going to use you. I am going to be in a serious relationship with you. I'm going to follow you all the way. Amen?